Think of rich people living in huge mansions that, rationally speaking, are a waste of space for one or two people to rattle around in. The hemoglobin molecule is built from 10,000 atoms, creating a vast space that exists so that exactly 4 iron atoms can pick up 4 oxygen atoms for transport. These 10,000 atoms aren't some kind of luxurious waste, however. They are recombinations of simpler proteins, also necessary for the life of cells. Besides containing hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, and sulfur, the structure of hemoglobin contains oxygen. So the actual task that faced inorganic matter billions of years ago on planet Earth was as follows. Oxygen had to be set free into the atmosphere without getting gobbled up by greedy atoms and molecules around it. At the same time, some of the oxygen had to be gobbled up to form complex organic chemicals. Those organic chemicals had to be structured into proteins, of which hemoglobin is one of the most complex. Hemoglobin had to be arranged internally so that it encased 4 iron atoms, which are absent from hundreds of other proteins, including those that resemble hemoglobin in their working parts. The iron atoms couldn't be inertly encased, like locking diamonds up in a safety deposit box. The iron had to be charged as a positive ion, so that it could pick up oxygen atoms. But it wasn't permitted to steal any of the oxygen already being used to build proteins. Finally, the machinery necessary for constructing all of the organic chemicals had to remember how to do it the next time, and the next, while other nanomachines sitting nearby in the cell had to remember hundreds of different chemical processes without interfering with the machine that makes hemoglobin. Meanwhile, in the nucleus of the cell, DNA has to remember and put into motion with precise timing the whole enterprise. No matter how you cut it, this is a lot to ask of atoms, whose natural behavior is to bond instantaneously to the atom next door and stay that way. And this natural behavior hasn't gone out of fashion. The countless sextillions of atoms in stars, nebulae, and galaxies are acting as they always have. So are the atoms contained in the solar system, the sun, and our planet, aside from the atoms in living creatures. Those atoms manage the trick of behaving naturally while at the same time pursuing a creative sideline, namely, life. As animal life was humming along creating hemoglobin, natural processes on the vegetable side of the operation created chlorophyll, which sustains plant life along a different route, photosynthesis. We won't conduct a tour of the chlorophyll molecule, except to say that it consists of 137 atoms, whose sole purpose is to encase one atom of magnesium rather than the iron in hemoglobin. This ionized magnesium atom, when it comes into contact with sunlight, allows carbon and water to form a very simple carbohydrate. How photons of light from the sun can create this new product opens up new mysteries. But once the simplest carbohydrate molecule was generated by plant leaves, an evolutionary breakthrough was made. The machinery that manufactures chlorophyll took a separate track from the machinery that manufactures hemoglobin, which is why cows eat grass instead of being grass. Note, in photosynthesis, chlorophyll only needs the carbon atom and carbon dioxide, releasing the oxygen atom into the air. You may say, aha, that's where the free oxygen comes from that isn't stolen by other atoms. But unfortunately, chlorophyll needs a cell to live inside, and that cell required free oxygen for its construction before chlorophyll could start to operate. Now we have a context for asking the right question. The mystery of how life first began comes down to the transition from lifeless chemical reactions to living ones. Is life simply a sideline of universal chemical behavior throughout creation? Any answer will also have to include why only some atoms and molecules engage in this sideline, while the rest continue on their merry way.